Let me say good morning to you, church. We're going to press forward today in our study of Matthew chapter 13. So go ahead and turn there if you would, please. That's where Jesus taught in this long series of parables, the secrets of the kingdom. We began 3 weeks ago, if you'll recall, with the purpose of parables. Jesus told his disciples that, well, the parables help those who are following Christ to better understand the kingdom of God. But at the same time, those who have rejected his offer of grace will find difficulty in understanding how the parables relate to the Lord's kingdom. The parable of the soil was next. If you recall 2 weeks ago, Kyle led us, and we really keyed in on how you've postured your heart to hear and to receive and respond to the Word of God. Last week, Todd preached on the parable of the weeds and Jesus' pretty plain explanation that hell is real and those who reject Christ really will spend eternity there. For this morning, then, we continue on in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to consider two parables together today. In fact, I believe these are parallel parables. And what I mean by that is that these two parables Jesus taught, they carry similar meanings, which, as we're going to see, are somewhat interrelated. Before we dig into that, though, I'm guessing you just might be looking at that title on the screen or printed in your ministry guide and thinking, is that a typo? Like, what is that? I've never seen that word before. Well, let me tell you, it's not a mistake. And I know some of you have already Googled that word because you want to figure out what in the world that means and what we're talking about today. The word is Zenfbrot. Zenfbrot, it's a German word. It means, are you ready for this? Mustard bread. Mustard bread, yeah. Now, before I show you a picture of it, I need to warn you that if you have a sensitive palate like I do, this picture just may prompt some of that, you know, warm spit that forms in your mouth sometimes. I mean, I really struggled with just prepping the pictures for this week. And so here it is. Mustard, bread. By the way, gross, okay? Ugh. I don't know how anybody manages to eat mustard in the first place, all right? I can't handle it. But just looking at that mustard sandwich, oh, that turns my stomach. It's so bad. Actually, though, that's not really Zenfbrot. That's just somebody's repulsive afternoon snack, okay? Now, Zenfbrot is a popular bread item in German culture, and it looks more like this next picture. Okay, that's not so bad, right? It's not. But it's called Zenfbrot, mustard bread, because mustard is literally mixed in with the dough, baked into the bread itself. And then when they take it out of the oven, they brush that loaf with a mustard glaze before adding those weird seeds on the top, okay? Now, I don't know who came up with that whole idea, but no thank you, all right? That's not on my menu, okay? But if you enjoy things like that, awesome, good for you. Well, we're going to turn our attention this morning to these two more brief parables that Jesus taught in Matthew 13. And it's going to begin to make sense why we're looking at pictures of mustard bread at church. Verses 31 through 33 of Matthew 13 is where the Lord compared the kingdom to a grain of mustard seed and then to leaven. Leaven, of course, is what's used like yeast in making bread. To make it rise. So we've got mustard and bread. You can connect the dots from there, right? See how we got that. Okay, anyway, Matthew chapter 13, let's look at the word of the Lord in verse 31. It says, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, thinking back to the parable of the soils and then last week's parable of the weeds, Jesus, in both of those examples, he later explained to the disciples what those parables mean. We have that recorded right here in the same chapter. But beginning with these two parables and moving forward in chapter 13, with these two quite concise parables, mustard seed and leaven, well, there's no longer a specific explanation that we find for what spiritual truths are to be drawn from these parables. But even that need not stop us. Led by the Holy Spirit, we still can mine from this passage more secrets of the kingdom. First, as we consider the parable of the mustard seed, we learn about expansive growth. Expansive growth. As Jesus said there in verse 32, the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Well, the mustard seed is really small, like 1/32 of an inch in diameter. That's 1 or 2 millimeters in diameter. Tiny. And to get an idea of just how tiny that is, here's a picture of one on the tip of a human finger. That's a little bitty seed, man. It is really small. But it's important that we understand this morning, when the Savior said it's the smallest of all seeds, he was not making a scientific statement there. Because in fact, there are seeds that are even smaller than the tiny mustard seed. It's not the smallest seed to be found anywhere in all of creation, but it's the smallest among those seeds that the people who were in the crowd that day would have been familiar with. It's the smallest among the common garden seeds that they knew in their very agrarian culture. And so when Jesus pointed out that it's the smallest among the seeds, they all knew exactly what he was talking about. Like, yeah, sure is. I mean, those mustard seeds, itty bitty things. I get what he's saying here. In the cultural context, it made perfect sense for Jesus to point out that it's the smallest of all seeds, even though that's not a scientifically accurate statement. But that tiny 1 or 2 millimeter seed, once it's planted and it germinates, it can grow into a large plant like a tree that towers above the other common garden plants that the crowd would have known well. Those mustard plants are known to grow to a height of 10 feet, sometimes 12 feet tall. That's not a giant tree by any means, but it's a massive garden plant that comes from such a tiny, seemingly inconsequential seed. And again, the whole crowd understood exactly what Jesus was talking about up to this point. They're probably nodding their heads like, mm-hmm, yeah, I got you. And agreeing about the size of those mustard plants, because they got one growing in the back of their house as well. Jesus was telling them that the kingdom, though small in appearance at that time, it was going to experience expansive growth. As it was, what anyone could see or understand at that time, the kingdom appeared to be little more than this rabbi who went around healing people and his small band of disciples. It was hardly what anyone would consider a kingdom, but massive growth lay ahead. Similarly, 50 years ago, a couple of college dropouts thought they had a great idea for what would be a marketable product. And so one of them sold his van, the other one sold his prized calculator, and with a few hundred dollars that they scraped together, they started a company in the van guy's bedroom at his parents' house. This was their first product. Look on the left, kind of toward the middle, and what does it say there? Apple Computer One. Yeah, this was it. This was the very first Apple computer. It didn't come with a monitor, didn't come with a keyboard. It didn't even come with a case or power supply. You got this circuit board, and that was it. They sold 175 of those. Not a lot. You want to talk about small beginnings? But that company that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak formed together, I'd say it's done okay, right? I mean, expansive growth ensued from something so small. Apple today is the second most valuable company in the world. Just this past January, by the way, one of those Apple One circuit boards, there are only about 70 known to exist today, but one of those sold in January at auction for $2.75 million. because they're so rare and so meaningful. A product that led to a transformation of our culture and society. Okay, so what did we learn from this parable? Not Apple computer, okay? What did we learn from this parable of the mustard seed? Well, I think the obvious thing is the kingdom started small, but it was going to grow real big, all right? Okay. Well, there's actually more than that that we can learn from this. First, understand that this mustard seed parable, it illustrates truth about Jesus himself. Because as it appeared to the people of Israel, he was kind of like that seemingly insignificant mustard seed. Think about that. Jesus didn't come to his people as the anticipated conquering military and political leader that they thought the Messiah was going to be. No, he came ministering humbly, displaying a very different kind of power than what they expected. And the very small, seemingly insignificant kingdom he established, it has in fact grown and expanded. And down through the ages, the gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed not only individual hearts, but entire cultures all across the globe. From what men observed as a small, humble start, the kingdom of God has advanced. And I'm telling you, it's advanced so much. One day, Christ will return, not as the quiet, humble teacher, but as the sovereign and reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shall reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Like the tiny mustard seed experiences expansive growth, so the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ will no longer appear small and insignificant in the eyes of men. A second application then from the parable of the mustard seed is this. Like all the things that we intentionally grow in our yards and in our gardens, the mustard seed also grows slowly. The growth is hardly noticeable day to day to the casual passerby. But over time, there's this substantial growth that takes place from the smallest of their garden seeds to a tree large enough for the birds to nest in. Similarly, the kingdom's growth and our part in it is often slow, and it can be difficult to even notice. It seems like we're just going nowhere. And so it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think that we're not really making any progress. I mean, perhaps you have felt that way. Maybe because you've been strategically witnessing to your neighbor or your classmate or maybe it's your coworker. But now you're months or even years into it, and it seems to be going nowhere. Maybe you've been praying for years. I mean, years that feel like a lifetime. You've been praying for that precious grandson or granddaughter to trust the gospel, but it still hasn't happened. It could be that as you've been serving the Lord, it just hadn't really turned out the way you envisioned it or expected it. You don't see any measurable fruit right now, and it doesn't seem like you've really accomplished much of anything. And by this point, you're tired and you're worn and just hanging on by a thread, about ready to throw in the towel. Take heart. Take heart, faithful servants of the Lord. In spite of what may seem like a standstill, the kingdom of God is still persistently growing and advancing. And so remember the encouraging and challenging words of 1 Corinthians 15, where in verse 58, the Apostle Paul said, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't quit sharing the gospel just because it doesn't seem to be accomplishing anything. Don't lose heart. Your work in God's kingdom is not wasted. Like the tiny mustard seed that slowly, patiently grows to a massive plant. So your faithful ministry in the name of the Lord, it is effective. It will bear fruit. It is part of the kingdom's growth to the glory of God. All right, then before we press on to the parable of the leaven, I'd like to point out a couple of things, significant things, related to the parables we've seen so far. Notice that Jesus started with the parable of the soils and then weeds, the parable of weeds that grow in soil right alongside the wheat. And now we're looking at the mustard seed that grows in soil. He just keeps using these examples related to farming and growing, cultivation. And that's not because Jesus was a one-dimensional teacher who didn't have the creativity to come up with any other great examples. It's because sowing seed and growing food was just a pervasive element of that day's culture. We would say it was ubiquitous for them. It was everywhere, and everyone knew about it, and everyone could relate to it. It'd be like today telling a story or using an illustration about driving or using an app on your smartphone. Those things are ubiquitous today. Everybody in our culture knows what it is to get in a car and go somewhere. We all know what it is to use your smartphone. Jesus was teaching by using the very common elements that were pervasively familiar in that time, like sowing seed and growing food. Everybody did that. All right, secondly then, before we move on, there is a paradigm shift in our understanding when we recognize that Jesus, he wasn't out there, you know, teaching from the boat that day. He wasn't out there just kind of scanning his memory and looking around like, man, what can I use as an example? What would make a great parable here? Let me see. You know, mustard. Maybe the mustard. I think I could make that work, the mustard. It wasn't like that at all. Remember who Jesus is. Not only is he the master teacher, but he's also the sovereign creator of all that exists. And so I think it went down more like this. Ages earlier, when he created the mustard plant with its particularly small seeds and its unique germination characteristics and its substantial growth pattern, he created the mustard plant as it is with those unique traits, and he did so specifically so that it would be an illustration that he would draw on to explain the kingdom of God. He created the mustard plant for his own glorious purpose, not only to provide us with an agricultural product that would be enjoyed in food by some people, but he created it to become the subject of this parable that he knew he was going to teach one day and record in his eternal word. What I'm saying is this: Jesus didn't just use what he found available around him. He used what he had specifically created for that very purpose, for that parable. He created the mustard seed in order to illustrate the kingdom of God. And that paradigm is important to us. It's important that we understand it, because what's true of the mustard seed is true of you and me as well. He created you with your particular unique characteristics and traits. As surely as he designed the mustard seed for his purpose, he designed you specifically as he intended you to be, based on how he planned to use you for his purpose in his kingdom. And so be content with who you've been created to be and rejoice in the Lord's handiwork that is you. Amen. All right. That part's free. I'm not going to charge any extra for that, okay? But let's move on to the second in these parallel parables for today, the leaven. This parable illustrates influential growth. Remember, Jesus said in verse number 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, to really understand this, it will be helpful for us to consider a few of the terms that Jesus used here, most notably leaven. As many of us know, this is typically yeast that is mixed with flour and water in dough, and it's actually microorganisms that consume and sometimes ferment the carbohydrates in the dough, releasing carbon dioxide to make the dough rise. And so when Jesus talks about leaven, think yeast, like when one is baking bread. And it says that a woman took some of that leaven and hid it in 3 measures of flour. Hid it. Contextually, that's the idea simply of mixing one thing with another. This is not about hiding something out of fear or hiding it for protection or to deceive someone. It's what bakers know very well, that you've got to mingle the yeast together with the flour and the water and the dough. It's got to mix in. Jesus then spoke about 3 measures of flour. That would have been something like 50 pounds of flour. That's a lot. It would create a lot of dough, enough to feed easily 100 people or more. This was a large amount that he was talking about, but a little bit of leaven, just a little bit, introduced into that would reproduce and multiply until it was all leavened, Jesus said. That yeast, those living microorganisms, reproduce and permeate through all of the dough, even such a large amount. Now, just like we saw with the mustard seed, this was all very common knowledge to everyone in that culture. They weren't running down to Kroger to pick up a nicely sliced and packaged loaf of bread every week. They were baking their own leavened bread in their homes as part of everyday life. And so what Jesus was talking about here was very relatable. But the kingdom applications were not as immediately clear. But still, we can absorb these truths for us today. I'm going to give you a handful of things that we learned from this parable. One, just like a very small, even an imperceptible amount of leaven, when it was added to flour, it would eventually multiply and permeate through the entire mass of that flour and dough. So the kingdom was this small thing that was infiltrating not only the world, but the hearts of men and women in the world. That's the picture here, how the gospel would exert influence among all nations and tribes and tongues. Secondly, as it does so, the gospel message permeates the heart and it reshapes the very character of a person. The gospel is literally transformational. Like leaven changes bread dough, so the gospel changes people by the power of God. And for a long time now, it's been influencing and changing and even shaping entire cultures. Thirdly, you understand that today we live in a very quick, highly processed, fast food, microwave culture. We want and we expect things to be instantly available right now. Whether it's Amazon or Walmart or DoorDash, they will deliver goods to your doorstep in under an hour, oftentimes in just minutes. And while we have engineered chemical yeast that caters to that rushed culture, there's yeast now that will rise in just about an hour. But the leaven that Jesus was talking about, the leaven that culture was familiar with and accustomed to, it wasn't that engineered kind of yeast. It was a long, slow-acting, slow-rising, natural leaven. And so the kingdom transformation, the influence that Jesus was relating here, it's not an instant thing. It's long. It's slow. It's steady growth, like we saw with the mustard plant. And that requires us to be patient and persistent as we share the gospel and influence lives around us. And that, in fact, brings us to our fourth and the key illustration of this parable, our responsibility to share the gospel with others. Like a leavening agent permeates that flour, the dough into which it's introduced, like it grows and expands and multiplies, so we are to permeate the culture around us. We're to influence the people around us with the hope of the gospel as the kingdom continues to grow. We're to be showing and telling others how they too can be saved from sin through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That if they will repent of sin and trust Christ for salvation, he will forgive them and give unto them eternal life. That image of leaven multiplying in a lump of dough, it's like disciples multiplying, disciples making disciples. And that brings us back to our responsibility to have gospel conversations, to be passing on generational faith, like we've been talking about the last few years. But now think about this. In the world of baking, you take what's called a starter. a lump of dough with that yeast and bacteria that's already in it. And as long as that starter is fed daily with a little more flour, and a little bit of water, it's going to continue. That yeast, that leaven will continue to reproduce and ferment and permeate the dough, and it doesn't spoil and it doesn't get stale. In fact, there are these starter lumps of dough from bakeries around the world dating back to the mid-1800s. Like 200 years that family bakers have been continuing to feed that starter every day, sustaining that yeast strain with its particular unique flavors so that they are still serving customers, in essence, the same bread that their ancestors did. There's one Welsh baker who claims to have an 800-year-old starter from which they're still making fresh bread. That's fascinating to me. And there's spiritual truth in that element of leaven as well. You see, our faith in Christ must likewise be fed daily. This mindset that says, you know what, I'm just going to swing by the church every once in a while when I feel like I really need it. That's going to be enough for me. If that's your whole exposure to the Lord, to His Word, to His truth, to other believers, I'm just going to tell you that approach to Christian living just doesn't work. Without a daily surrender to the Holy Spirit, without regular time in prayer and in studying the Word of God and growing in Christ together with other believers, if you don't feed it daily, your faith is not going to reproduce. It'll become stagnant and stale. It won't exert the gospel influence like it should. It won't contribute to the influential growth of the kingdom that Jesus was talking about here in Matthew 13. And I'm not telling you that because I want you to come to church more often. Although I want you to come to church more often, right? But I'm telling you that to feed your faith daily in prayer and in God's Word, so that you'll be positioned and prepared to influence those in your life with the gospel, so that you can be used by the King in building His kingdom, so that you can experience the joy and the fulfillment of bringing glory to our King. Mustard and bread. It's a pretty simple combination. And when we consider these two together, as Jesus taught here in Matthew 13, it gives us a better understanding of the kingdom. How from a small start, the Lord is still building His expansive kingdom. But that growth is often slow and demands our patient persistence. And in that slow growth, as we live in light of and share the gospel message, we are privileged to influence the world around us with the love of Christ and the hope of eternal life. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank You today for Your good grace to us. Thank You for Your grace in the gospel. And thank You that like leaven, it spread and it multiplied and it reached even me. I know that's the testimony of many hearts in this place today that would say, thank You, Lord, that in Your grace You allowed me to be exposed to the gospel. I thank You for those that have responded in faith to the gospel message, for the lives that You have changed, You have transformed. Lord, we say thank You. And for those with us or watching online today who have not yet been changed, transformed, they've not yet trusted the gospel message, God, our prayer for them, our earnest longing, is that they would be convicted of sin and recognize their need of the Savior. God, would You call people unto Yourself this day? May the kingdom continue to expand. And for all of us believers who are walking by faith in this world, would You remind us that it's sometimes slow progress? Would You encourage us to keep on keeping on, to be steadfast and immovable and abound in the work of the Lord, for it's not in vain? Would You give us all that we need, God, to be influencers in this world that would reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Use us, we pray, to build Your kingdom. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen.